Greetings in the name of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Pastor Dwight Oswald, and today our devotional is titled, The Wise Build on the Rock. Christ says that on Judgment Day, many will say to him, Lord, Lord, only to hear him say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And then he proceeded to give this wrap-up warning as seen in Matthew 7, 24 through 29. We read Matthew 7, 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The therefore ties back to and builds on what Christ has said in the sermon. Christ addresses these words to whoever hears these sayings of mine. This relates to those who have heard. They know what Christ has said, and now the issue is how they're going to respond. The sayings of Christ evidently refer to the contents of the whole previous sermon, as seen in Matthew 5 through 7. Christ puts the doing of his sayings on the same level as doing the will of the Father, Matthew 7, 21. In both cases, the issue is linked with having a place in the kingdom, as noted by the word, therefore. This clearly shows that Christ's words and God's will coincide as one and the same. And it shows us that Jesus is God in that his words carry the same authority as those of God the Father. A major theme in Jesus' ministry is hearing, in the sense of appropriation. After giving the parable of the sower and the soils, in which only the good ground yields a crop, representing those who are saved, Christ then gave this challenge, Matthew 13, 9. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. 13:23. But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Matthew 13:23. In the prophetic scriptures, the Messiah is the one who comes with authority, and true believers, are those who hear and respond with obedience. Genesis 49:10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh, meaning the one to whom it belongs, comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the people. Deuteronomy 18:18-19, I will raise up for them a prophet like you, from among their brethren, and will put words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. Hearing followed by doing is indicative of true faith. We're not saved by the doing, but we are saved by a hearing response that truly believes. And if it is real, it then shows in the life, not perfectly, but certainly. John 3:36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Hebrews 5:9, and being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. We're not saved by works. Yeah, that's for sure. We're saved by grace alone, the cross, through faith alone. But the faith that saves desires to obey. The fruit of true faith is obedience. That is Christ's major point here at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. A.W. Tozer said, plain horse sense ought to tell us that anything that makes no change in the man who professes it makes no difference to God either. Christ says that those who hear his sayings and do them are like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The house represents a person's life. And what they build on it is the foundation. What they build on is the foundation. The great issue being illustrated is what a person builds their life upon. Each house represents a life founded on a governing principle. That's the all-important issue. What is the governing principle of a person's life? The wise person builds on the rock of Christ's lordship and his sayings. The rock is the lordship of Christ, and if Christ is truly recognized as Lord, it will be demonstrated in obedience, doing his sayings. Obedience and lordship go together. In the Bible, Christ is often spoken of as the rock, both prophetically in the Old Testament as well as symbolically in the New Testament. Matthew 21, 42, and 44. Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the Scriptures?" They should have read. "Have you never read in the Scriptures?" He's talking about Psalm 118. "The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." And then verse 44, "Whoever falls on this stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder." Falling on the stone represents the brokenness of repentance described in the Sermon on the Mount. Those not repentant will be crushed in judgment by the rock that is Christ. Daniel 2:34, "You watched while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces." Again, Daniel 2:45, "Inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, the gold. The great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure." Christ is the rock, and the wise man has him and his sayings as the foundation for his life. In the Bible, you really can't separate God from his word. What you think of one, you think of the other. Faith personally recognizes the truth of God's word, submits to it, and rests upon it. 1 Corinthians 3:11, "No other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." The only real, lasting foundation that one can build upon is Jesus Christ, the rock. Apart from Christ, all is vanity, and a person is really building on nothing, nothing that will last ultimately. Ed Glasscock, quote, "When the testing of life's foundation comes, only those who have responded properly to Christ's teaching will stand." Revelation 6, 15 through 17, "And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the caves in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, 'Fall on us, hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come.' And who is able to stand?" Well, jump to the next chapter. "After these things, I looked to behold a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" And then Revelation 7, 13 and 14, "One of the elders answered, saying to me, 'Who are these who are arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?' And I said to him, 'Sir, you know.' So he said to me, 'These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.'" The wise person builds his life upon the rock foundation that is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is Lord and Savior to all who believe in him. And then Christ said, Matthew 7:25, "And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and the beat upon that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." The storm represents the testing times, culminating in the ultimate testing of judgment day before God. That which is founded on the rock endures. A true faith is characterized by obedience to Christ and is found standing in the end. We all struggle. James says to believers, we all stumble in many things. James 3:2. Yet it is also true, the true faith perseveres. By the grace of God, it keeps on keeping on. A true faith consistently desires to obey God, even in failure. Down deep, wants to obey. The believer has a new nature, and this new nature, being wed to the Holy Spirit, always desires to obey Christ. We still have the flesh, the old sin nature, and so we do struggle. But down deep, the new man desires to obey. And the end result of this is that true believers have a persevering faith. Colossians 1, 21 through 23. "And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. This is Pastor Dwight Oswald signing off for now.